We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, August 27th, and we are back for a brand new season of the Red Ass Podcast and a brand new football season. So we're just about ready to rock and roll, huh?
Uh-oh, I was muted. Rookie move, dude.
Rookie move. We're starting the new podcast off to a great start.
I was trying to do something real quick. It's still working, man. It's only 6:30. I had to talk to my phone a little bit because I'm too lazy to type in questions into Google. Man, it's that time again. And I thought the season has been kicked off to an absolutely rip roaring start. I had Georgia Tech winning that game.
Oh yeah.
I thought there were just too many questions with FSU, and Haynes King went out and had himself a game. I thought he made plays when they needed to. And so while I think like the week zero kind of literally having just one kind of game on, I know that Division II played or FBS, whatever you call them now, FC, whatever. but I know Division II and everything else kicked out their season, but like having one game is really kind of lame. I wish they would at least do it like a weekend of it. So maybe Friday, Saturday, Sunday, do a 3-game spread.
Yeah.
You know, something like that for a week zero. But it was, man, that was a heck of a game. It was a great watch. Again, Haynes King, how can you not pull for the kid, right? But, went out and kind of balled out. And it was, watching that game, the first drive, FSU just basically took the ball and crammed it down their throat. And I was like, this is going to be a long day for Georgia Tech if they don't figure something out quick.
Mm-hmm.
But then Georgia Tech got the ball and crammed it down FSU's throat. And all of a sudden you're thinking, wait, I thought FSU's defense was going to be a huge strength. And wait, crap, how good is Georgia Tech? It's all those random questions that you have no idea how to answer because you're literally looking at one football game. You don't even have the comparative model, you know, which is garbage to begin with, but you can't even use that because nobody's played a game.
Nope, they have not.
So, but I thought it was a great game to kick off this season. I really do. I thought it was entertaining, you know, especially when you don't have any skin in the game, you know, just seeing a good game, you know, good competitive football game.
Oh, yeah.
I had Georgia Tech winning that. I didn't know how either. That was just kind of like my gut feel. I just thought that so much hype had been dumped on FSU and knowing, you know, I know what they had, but I also know what they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the biggest, Uungalele, DJ.
Yeah.
I'm not as high on him, I think, as a lot of people are.
Sure.
So, I mean, I don't think he had, like, an absolutely terrible game by any means. But if he was the quarterback that a lot of people are saying he is, he would have found a way to win that game.
No doubt. Well, before we get in any further, I am Rob White, fighting Texas A&M Class 14.
Oh, yeah, and I'm Roy May, fighting Texas A&M Class 2015.
He jumped right into it. He was ready to go with some.
Sorry, man. Dude, it's time. It's time. There is no structure to these shows once football starts. There is no hope for you to keep this on the rails.
No. I am it was a great game. Obviously pumped for Georgia Tech pulling off the win, especially for our guys that were over there. Just awesome win for them, both Chase Lane and Haynes King. Phenomenal way to start the season, to go on the road to Ireland, which, mind you, I'll tell you this much, with my experience in Ireland, I would not cried at the opportunity to do that game one time.
Oh, no, 100%. The thing is, like, it's funny because I drove by that same way we were there, I missed him by a month, you know, unfortunately. Yeah. But that'd be a cool game. But honestly, to me, it's got to make sense. So we're going to go off on a complete tangent right now because why not, right?
Sure.
So the NFL plays all these games in Europe, right?
Right.
And I understand that the NFL is based solely on the greed model. I get that. And because American football has such the draw that it does internationally, I get them going to play kind of everywhere, right? Even mm-hmm. there's a game in Mexico City this year, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Texans are playing somebody in Mexico City, you know, playing in England and playing in Germany. And so I get that because the popularity of the sport has definitely gone international. And shit, you can look at our A&M roster and see that it's international.
Yep.
But for colleges, I don't care for it. I really don't care for it. So if you're going to play in Dublin, it kind of needs to be Notre Dame, right?
Yeah.
Like that's my biggest thing, and that's really the only one. I mean, I guess you could play in London, you know, with anybody, but you know, if you went to London, you'd want to send like, God, who are the Patriots? You know, be like a jerk about it, like send Liberty or you know, like, but like I'm not a big fan of college going over there. I think it's already tough enough to be a student athlete, and you know you can kind of put that in quotes to some extent. But NIL, you know, these kids do still have to make grades to stay eligible, so I understand it. It's not like basketball where they can literally just quit the semester pretty much and qu stop going to class, play, and they'll be done, and they don't care.
Right.
You know, football, you know, with the football and baseball, with the minimums that they have to stay, you know, schooling is still important in order for them to stay eligible. So I get that. And you know, academics, even the fall, if they're going to get drafted, if there's something to play for, they've got to keep their academics up as well, because bowl games and everything happen after grades come out, you know, so you can make yourself ineligible real quick by screwing off in the fall. And so I'm not a huge fan of it. And I know it was a week early and like, you know, so classes were just gearing up and, you know, I guess you're doing it around syllabus week and that's fine, but I'd rather them just be played here. I don't mind the neutral site stuff when it's week zero.
Yeah, I will always fight it, but that's just me personally because I think college football should be played on campus minus 3 games.
Well, and that's the only, like, week zero is the only exception I really kind of have for this.
Fair.
Yeah, because I'll tell you right now, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I've never been, but literally everything I've seen and heard about it, it's a fantastic venue to play a football game.
Sure.
You have Georgia Tech and you have Florida State. You know, playing it in Vegas would have been cool, kind of thing.
I mean, how perfect would that have been in Atlanta, though? I mean, come on. I mean,
Well, I
that's.
mean, it almost would have been a home game,
I
quite
mean,
frankly.
well, it would have been home game, but you know, there's a ton of Florida State alums that are all around that region, and they would have
Oh,
traveled,
yeah.
and it would have
No,
been.
absolutely. No, it would have, they would have packed it out as well. But it's, yeah, I mean, I get doing it over there, but let the NFL do the international stuff. And it's great for the kids. Like, right. Like, I would be surprised if you could count on both hands and both feet the number of kids that had been to Dublin before in their life, right?
Right.
You know, either roster, either program.
Right.
Being a head coach, you know, of a major Division I program doesn't mean you travel to Dublin, you know, kind of thing.
No, I don't.
So I can see both sides, but I just wish they'd play, you know, in the States. Especially so the only game I get the entire weekend doesn't start literally right after college game day.
Right. I mean, fair enough. Outside of course, the other matchup that was rather funny for me, that being a UNM. They hosted Montana State and lost because that's what New Mexico does. New Mexico,
Solid.
we have death, taxes, and New Mexico losing to FCS schools. It's what they do. They pay thousands upon thousands of dollars to bring in these teams, and then they beat them. Like Sims did it to them. Now Montana State's done it to them. I guarantee you any other top level FCS school would beat them.
Whoever's on the schedule next year.
Yeah, pretty much. No, sorry, UNM fans that listen to this podcast. I apologize to y'all, but
I mean, I get it as a week zero game though, as far as you know, the big one that we saw, and it's super cool for the players and the programs. It's cool for the fans that actually make, you know, they schedule a vacation to Dublin, right, to go see
oh, yeah.
their team play overseas, and for all the local people to play, like, or to go see the game. And so, like, I get it, but I would rather be played in the States. You know, let the NFL continue to branch out of the sport, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are NFL fans globally. I mean, how many Georgia Tech fans are hanging out in a pub right now in Dublin, Ireland?
But not a ton. And I mean, you do see with the top level college teams, there's some fandom that obviously has grown. We've seen it even just here in College Station. We've picked up a few fans from elsewhere, of course. I mean, there's the famous British. You know, fellow who wrote the book about his trip.
That was actually really awesome. I really I enjoy following him.
Yeah, I have his book actually here at the house. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Been a while since I've read, but it's always cool to read about this time of year because this was right around when he came. He came in
Right.
for the Alabama game and that year, and let's face it, 2013 Alabama A&M game, that was a heater.
Oh, the only thing that sucked about it was the score, the final score, quite
Was a
frankly.
great game.
That was an unbelievable game.
Yeah, fun
But
game.
moving on, so week zero is done, and people can like that, they can dislike it. I'm not completely against it. I just it, like sending college football teams to play international doesn't do anything for me. But I guess if you're not going to play at a like if you're not going to play a home and home, then I guess shit, you may as well go to Dublin, right? Screw it. That's like,
Might as well.
So, but yeah, but either way, and no matter where it was, that game was wildly entertaining.
Yes.
It seemed like kind of a Florida State like home game to an extent, like the atmosphere of it.
Right.
But I think maybe it's just because it's been 9 months since I've heard the damn, Tomahawk Chop played over and 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 over.
Okay.
Like,
You understand that my actual hell is a bowl game that includes Florida State and Oklahoma.
oh, well, I was about to say the Oklahoma band's probably jealous of the FSU band with how repetitive they are. That's
Phew.
saying something. Although I there's there's always one weekend around the state fair that I don't mind hearing Boomer Sooner for about
No.
3 hours.
No.
But yeah, so again, a great kickoff. You just couldn't ask for anything more. FSU obviously has a big fan base, but I think the bandwagon has definitely lightened for them over the years. Because they've had such a tough time, and again, they're picking things back up. But you got to remember, like last time, they were really like truly huge around the country. I mean, Jimbo Fisher was their head coach,
Yeah, that was a minute ago.
Yeah. And so it's been a little bit of while, a little been a been a little while. And so you have the Florida State fans, Georgia Tech fans. I mean, there's not a huge faction of Georgia Tech fans.
No.
And so, really, the overwhelming majority of college football fans, and there's no animosity towards Georgia Tech either. I can maybe Georgia, I guess, because it's in state, but that's one of those
Definitely.
where I don't have to hate you because I just beat you all the time. But I thought the country, it really kind of college football fandom was treated to an absolute gem of a game. And if this season, if that game is any indication of how this season is going to be for us, we are in for an absolute treat.
Well, I'm excited always with like the first weekend of college football, mainly because you do get all of these numbers, right? Because everybody loves preseason rankings. In fact, way too many people are out here making their way too early, preseason rankings. As soon as this regular season's over or the postseason's over, they're already throwing that together. And the
Way too early rankings. Well, if you're literally labeling it way too early, then don't do it.
yeah.
You just told me it's too early for you to be doing what you. It's like when you wake up at 5 in the morning and you look over your buddy and he's like taking shots and drinking beers, and you're like, bro, it's a little early, right? It's way too early for that, all right?
Remember, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the
Don't
morning.
start in the morning. That's right. Yeah, pound of bacon, pound of bacon in a pint.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that and a little breakfast shot. It'll wake you up, But regardless, I think the funny
I mean, hold on. Been there.
been there.
Right?
Yep, I think we all
This
have.
is the most dangerous time of the year for the livers of people that are college football fans and Premier League fans.
Indeed, we have been.
Because straight up, you can start drinking at 6 in the morning and literally drink for 18 hours.
Yeah, if you've got afternoon games for college football and you're starting off and your team's already rock and rolling at 6 a.m., which can happen.
Or if you're, yeah, so like West Ham plays at 6 in the morning, A&M's got the 6:30 slot, and because I'm a complete sicko, I'm gonna watch the Hawaii game,
Because you have to. Like, that's the rule. You got to watch the Hawaii game the first week, especially if it's on the road, because why not?
See, then that's the thing. People are like, man, we gotta get ready for the season. I'm gonna start chugging beer. I'm like, no, you had 9 months to learn how to hydrate. All right. That was the 9 months. It was to drink water and figure out how to hydrate, where your hydration points are, when you need to back off. This isn't like, let me pound my liver for the off season because they're in there lifting weights. I better be lifting my weights too. So
Yeah, lift your weight. And that
but
means your beer. Drink it.
Speaking of that, I would like to not beer, but well, I guess that kind of feeds into it because sometimes I have to drink to watch them. But we will get into a little bit of Premier League.
Yes, we
difference.
absolutely will.
But
But like I said, I love the fact, we are coming up on the first week of college football, like week one. And I mean, there's so many great
it's
matchups.
not week one with quotes.
It's actual week
It's
one.
week one.
Right, but it's already
Two teams flew to Dublin, and you know what? And I'm fine with calling it week zero. I am. You know why? Because like the game matters. I get it, right? Because this is a conference game they play.
Oh yeah.
That's what was ballsy about it. So that I kind of dug, like it being a conference game. Because like, what did we get last year, right? Notre Dame and Navy.
Woo.
Like, first of all, you make me actually have to root for Navy. Second of all, they get their doors blown off, and it's the only football I get for the entire weekend.
Oh yes.
Again, minus Division II and blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
So it like if you're gonna do those, I think it's gotta count, right?
Right.
It's gotta count, man. Like it just you make it a conference game, and I don't care who in the conference is it, but don't do anything random. You know, don't like Florida State's playing Idaho Vandals in freaking Munich, and you're like, okay,
Yeah.
why?
Why indeed?
So
Oh, but like I said, week one's upon us, and there's
see,
some.
the season's starting. You're already getting the old man screaming at clouds.
I know. You
I'm
do we need to
excited.
take you? Do we need to take you for a walk? Do we need
I'm excited. You want to take me for a
to?
walk and leave me? Well, I do want to get into just kind of the slate of games. And no offense, I'm not going to go through a slate of games. It's not top 25, even though the rankings are completely made up and none of the points matter right now.
Right, but
But
getting back to what I was saying before, right? They assign these numbers so early in the year, and you truly don't know if that number means anything, of course. That's the beauty.
arbitrary.
Yes, that's why it's always fun to see those preseason matchups. Like, one that you just, you talked about getting into this opening slate. You want to talk about a game? Preseason rank, you got Georgia hosting, Georgia playing Clemson over there at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, one versus 14, but that one, so look, Georgia being number one, that's not arbitrary, all right? I think Clemson being at 14 actually isn't arbitrary. I think Clemson is a legit shot to win the ACC, but there's some weight maybe. So I think that's why they're kind of where they're at in the middle of the pack.
Sure.
That should be a wildly entertaining game, which means it'll probably totally suck. But football starts up on Thursday this week. Like Missouri's, got a nobody. There's nothing interesting on Thursday night other than the fact that there are four top 25 teams playing. I'm
Right.
interested to see Utah, but they're playing Southern Utah, so I'm going to get absolute nothing out of watching that game. But I do enjoy watching Cam Rising. I think he's just a fun quarterback. Kansas being ranked is hilarious, so I'm fully expecting them to lose to what looks like a school that centers on their debate team, Lindenwood.
Awesome.
I had to look if this was football or rowing. I don't even know what Lindenwood is.
Well, I'll tell you, Kansas has been pretty solid as of the last couple of years. They've
They've been a
been,
little salty for Kansas. Let's put it that way.
they have been.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and dog them too much. I mean, they're going to play Lindenwood, smoke them probably.
I've never heard of Lindenwood. This is not an exaggeration. And I pride myself on knowing a lot about college football and colleges in general. And see, I'm rambling so Robert can look it up and figure out where the hell it is because he's not going to admit to it. I'm admitting to it. I've never heard of Lindenwood. All right. Sounds like a country club. All right.
St. Charles,
What
Missouri.
do they have a rowing team, right? Like is what's their thing? What?
They're
Hold on.
FCS.
You know what? I'm gonna do this on air. I'm not gonna mute myself because last time I did it, that screwed it up anyways. What is
Oh.
Lindenwood University most well known for?
That is a phenomenal question. Let's go take a peek. All right.
Okay, see that's the university saying that because that's not even a that's there
Yeah.
you go. The most popular no. Average GPA to get in is a 3.35. Okay. Why should I go to Lindenwood? A nationally recognized institution of higher learning. Thank you. Thank you
Ooh,
so much.
we learned so much.
Nationally recognized? Not in this nation.
Hey, they got ice hockey and women's ice hockey and women's and men's lacrosse, swimming and diving,
Okay,
volleyball.
so they're doing some good sport. There's some legit, and I'm assuming they're Division Two.
They are FCS, yes.
Okay.
FCS and they are out of Missouri, so
Shocking.
makes sense there. But yeah, that fun little aside there. Let's see.
Shocking.
What else we got going on? So Saturday with this slate, we got some good game. I will tell you what, Penn State,
So
West
well,
Virginia.
Friday you got OU playing, and I think we're all very curious how OU is going to be. And Temple is one of those colleges. They remind me of like UAB back in the day that they'll just kind of jump up and bite you for no reason, right?
Right.
And Temple has had, obviously, had some fantastic players come through the university. What DeMarcus Ware, right off the top of my head, right? Like he
Right.
played Temple. That's a tricky game in the sense of what are we going to find out about Oklahoma? Now, if they go in and blow the doors off of Temple, again, we don't know because it's week one, but that would have been Oklahoma doing what you expect them to do, ranked 16th against an unranked Temple. Yeah.
Correct. You look at like Penn State, West Virginia, that honestly ought to be a pretty solid game.
I think that should be a fantastic game to watch. I think West Virginia is going to be good this year. I think the Big 12 is completely up for grabs. And I think West Virginia is one of the names that you legitimately throw in the hat to win the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you take Oklahoma and Texas out of the
Oh,
equation.
hey,
Mostly
check it out.
Oklahoma.
I mean, I'm
Mostly.
wearing West Virginia colors.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Go Nears, Mountaineers.
Yeah, if you're just listening, don't worry. It's not a West Virginia hat.
Hey,
It's the Open Championship. It's not yet. Those were just
Navy.
their colors, all right?
Navy and gold is not a bad combination of colors, except this week, and we'll get into that in a minute. But.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute. But most of the slate this week is kind of the week one cupcakes for the most part. You do have the Georgia Clemson. So there are four big games, but outside of that, the rest of the top 25 is kind of schedule padding. But
Minus one game that I'm rather curious about, and that is Oklahoma State and South Dakota State.
see, and you want to talk about a program you have no idea what's going on right now, and South Dakota State being what they are, but again. And I get it, just because New Mexico lost, all right? Just rub a little salt in that wound, sorry. But again, Oklahoma State is a Division I program who has built a talented roster and
Oh, yeah.
maintained it throughout the years under I'm a man, I'm 40. And that shouldn't be a problem for them. Maybe an early scare kind of thing, like it's a little tight early or tight going on the half, but that should be a game where Oklahoma State puts them away. If Oklahoma State doesn't put them away, then I think you remove the Cowboys' name out of the hat for winning the Big 12. And I get that it's week one, and overreactions are the name of the game. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
But I think Oklahoma State, if they're going to be the kind of team that can challenge for sorry, and now I'm getting distracted. I'm wearing West Virginia. I'm going to change hats. There we go. Do a little advertising for Bach Realty Group.
There you go.
But this is the type of game, though. If Oklahoma State is going to be the program that can challenge for the Big 12, you can't lose, no matter what level of Division II it is. You can't lose.
No, and you shouldn't. I mean, and we've seen it where they've lost a game, games like Central Michigan and some other teams like that in the past. So it's something you've got to keep in mind. I mean, because South Dakota State is not going to come in there and just lay down. All those
Oh,
Dakota
God, you want
teams.
to talk about trying to make a statement?
Yeah, I mean, you look at all the Dakota teams, whether it's South Dakota State, North Dakota State, you look over at the teams over there in Montana.
Dakota Fanning, wait.
Yeah. Anyway, you watch any of those teams, they always
Just
have
watching
problems.
some old movies the other day.
Good for you. It'll work.
But you kind of roll through the slate. I don't
Yeah.
think anything on Thursday is really worth watching. I'll be interested to kind of see the final box score of the Missouri game. To
Yeah.
see what caliber I think Missouri might be, because Missouri, again, good football team, man, good program. Dinkle is no joke. But NC State, Western Carolina, once
Yeah.
you get to the end of the top 25, like how accurate are you being, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're throwing numbers basically because they do it obviously based on points voted, right, for where your slot is. So typically, if you're lower down the list, it's because they really don't know where to put you a lot of the time,
Kind of throwing a
especially.
dart. And we fall a little bit in there, right? Because we're at 20. But Alabama will blow the doors off. Texas versus Colorado State, go Rams. Ole Miss has got a clunker. Again, we said the Penn State West Virginia game, I think, should be a really good football game. Of course, now that we've said that,
We'll see.
but that is the big noon on Fox game.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think, I mean, granted, there's not a ton for them to choose from, but there's obviously something there for them to be like, maybe this is going to be a good game.
Now, how about this one? Miami traveling to Florida.
See, that I love, and that's one we're really going to learn some stuff about. And it's right in that, the old CBS 230 slot. So I think, and it'll be a great game to watch leading into ours, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so really your slot is like, if you're trying to gear up, you know, your big time games in the slots are the Penn State West Virginia game, then you go to the Florida game, and then you go to our game. And then there's really nothing in the late slot that's any good, but that's generally how it goes, quite frankly. That'll change a little bit this year with some of the West Coast schools being in the Big Ten. You know, like a USC, Ohio State in the Coliseum, that's a late night time slot that you're gonna stay and watch, right? I'm cracking up though, like the Big Ten fans, like they got totally hosed. Like,
Oh, yeah.
think about being a Rutgers fan, man, or like a Penn State fan, you're going to UCLA.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah. Welcome to watching Hawaii games, homie.
Well, and we discussed not terribly long ago how crazy that is for all the other sports, not just football. But without diving back into that rabbit hole, another
Right.
really fu another fun game on Sunday, USC playing LSU in Vegas.
Well, so Sunday, Monday are two great matchups. It's just you know, you get one a day kind of thing. But yeah, no, I love the LSU USC matchup, other than the fact that I don't think USC is going to be any good.
Probably not. And then Boston
But I
College
mean,
playing Florida State.
I'd love to see him beat LSU.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think we all would.
And Florida State, Boston College, that's just a, you know, a nice throwback kind of thing.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Oh, classic.
But yeah, so there's, you know, there's some decent games, you know, in the time slots this week. Again, you know, the beginning of the season is loading up on cupcakes. So it's just kind of we'll see kind of thing, right?
It'll definitely be interesting to see how that one plays out. But we kind of dove around it north, south, east, and west of it. Now we're finally on it. A&M,
Yeah,
Notre Dame.
we did a good job working around.
We
We're good
did
of
do a
ourselves.
great job working around our game. So you got A&M, Notre Dame.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Honestly, fascinating matchup, especially if you've been watching the spread kind of change recently. All of a sudden, A&M's a favorite in this matchup. And when you think about it logistically, it makes a ton of sense why we are t favored in this matchup. Namely, if you look back at Notre Dame in terms of the ranked teams they've played over the past several years, if you look at the number of times they've played in 100-plus capacity stadiums in the last several years, and they have negative stats across the board with any of those matchups, including ranked games on the road with teams that are in 100,000 capacity stadiums. So, I
Yeah,
mean,
some of those stats, and again, that's like that's advanced metric crap that I'm
yeah,
not
it's a met
used to.
it doesn't mean anything.
You know,
It
when it's
never
a
means.
three-quarter moon, and
Right. It doesn't mean anything, but it's fascinating to look at with the matchup because A&M has become favored, despite the fact you have number 7 Notre Dame coming into town.
well, so where I saw this, so what it opened up at like 2.5 for Notre Dame, right?
I think, yeah, it sounds
And
right.
Notre Dame loses their left tackle, and they already lost two offensive linemen to the draft. So this is already tough on them, and now it's even tougher. And so we lost a back, but we have backs, you know, that can fill in. Filling in for a left tackle is a million times more difficult. And on top of that, the left guard looks like it's going to be a, what I believe, a true freshman, or the left side of their line is going to be super young. And going against our defensive line, like that is not a recipe for success. And so it, I think it kind of built. And then obviously, you know, Vegas is going to move the line on where the money's coming in. It's, but if you look at, you know, how Vegas sets up, if you're not a big gambler, I'll tell you get 3 points for being at home. That's pretty much the rule. Like if you're playing somebody and it's, and you're at home and there's no line, like it's even, like it's a pick 'em, that means you're the underdog because your 3 points got it too even, like, right? Like a 0.5, you know? And so being at 3 just means that this is a wildly even matchup as far as everybody's seeing. And again, there's no tape, there's no film from this year. You can look up all the stuff from the past. You can look up Colin Klein's offense. You can look at how amazing Notre Dame secondary was. Again, are they able to continue the how they play? You know, is our defensive line going to gel? How's our offensive line going to play with a new coach? We have new coaching staff. So there's a million different dynamics that go into this. So generally, when the lines continue to move, once the injury stuff has come out and even the depth chart stuff has come out, that just means that the money's coming in on one side or the other.
Right.
That's for all you non-degenerates.
Mm-hmm.
So coming from a degenerate.
That's all good. It's all good. But it's gonna be, you know, I'm excited for this matchup. I think it's gonna be a great game.
I think it's a battle of the defenses, which means it's a battle of who makes less mistakes on offense. I think that's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can sit here and go through position by position. Look, Notre Dame's defense was good last year, so you have to give them a benefit of the doubt that they'll be good this year, but you don't know how good they're going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would take our defensive line, I think, over Notre Dame's defensive line. I think our defensive line is going to be probably one of the biggest X factors, if not the X factor in the game,
mm-hmm.
going up at least one side of that line, wildly inexperienced.
Yeah.
And I trust our defense under Elko, because if you don't, then you haven't watched football. The thing I'm most intrigued to see, though, is the Colin Klein offense. What is he going to do, and what is he going to set up with the talent that he has now, as opposed to what he had at Kansas State, right? And not to say that Kansas State is untalented, but these are two separate rosters. And if you can't admit that, you're literally just lying to yourself.
No, if you look at the actual skilled players that you have available to you, when you look at what we have coming up with Colin Klein, the guy has done some very inventive things on offense. I've seen some video of what he's done at Kansas State. It's rather fascinating to watch. And seeing that offense paired with, obviously, the defensive mindset that you see with Elko makes for a very interesting pairing this season. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say we're world beaters, but I will say that we're going to surprise people.
Oh, well, we'll do a season prediction, you know, right near the end. When we do our little pick 'em. But, you know, he's coming out of the Bill Snyder tree. And the reality is, when you were at Kansas State and the kind of guys that Bill Snyder recruited, right? Like mm-hmm. JUCO kids, like that was a big thing about him, was like, you know, JUCO kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're small, they're slow, right? It's like Army football. We always joke about it. We may be small, but at least we're slow, right?
Right.
But, you know, they're smaller kids. They're, you know, they were overlooked, and he was able to get them in and squeeze every bit of football out of them, right? Like, you want to stay in the league. I want to squeeze every bit of baseball out of you. Like a little Moneyball reference for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, knowing that that's how Colin Klein came up, and learning that kind of offense to where you have to, you know, there's got to be a lot of motion. There's got to be a lot of things to where you can help identify, you know, the defense by moving people around so you can exploit it with what will be some, you know, less talented, but wildly executing players, right? And I'm sorry to use that word, but it's true. When your team is out talented, you have got to 1000% execute to a T every play, or you just get your brains beat in, right?
Right.
And so seeing that, and then here's the true wild card for me.
Mm-hmm.
All that motion in order to figure out what the defense is doing with a comm system that can be talked into until there's 15 seconds left.
Right.
And so, you know, you add all that in, and what I think is a very high football IQ from Connor Wegman, and yep. obviously a very high football IQ for Colin Klein, because that's why he's an offensive coordinator.
And was like, what, third in the voting for being a Heisman quarterback when he was
right.
against Johnny. I mean, he's a damn fine quarterback. We all know.
I remember watching him play too, you know? And so I think that's really kind of one of the biggest X factors. And I think it's that way for all of college football all year long, you know, until defensive have to adjust to really shade their coverages and disguise everything they can until the absolute, or at least till the fifth, you know, till 15 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah.
And so the speed at which you can get the plays in will give you a better idea of what you're looking at and how your play is going to play out relative to the defense that they're playing on you, both coverage line, everything in the box. And so this is really truly turned into a huge bit of chess piece stuff. And, you know, having tablets on the sideline is obviously helpful, but that in-game comms all the way up to 15 seconds left on the play clock, I think is absolutely massive. So the offenses that are going to be at the front of the line, at least early, will be the ones who know how to get the play call in like 4 to 5 seconds.
It's
and good. Get lined up and start seeing the defense.
Yeah, we're definitely that's the big thing, right? That's the one thing I think a lot of people are going to have to recognize. It's a new coaching staff, new everything. This team's going to look different. They're going to act different. They're going to play around on the field a little different, and that's all good things. I mean, at this stage of the game, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, regardless of what takes place in this game coming up against Notre Dame, I mean, I'm excited just to see what we bring to the table offensively. But I do think it's certainly going to be an interesting matchup.
Oh, and I'm so ready just to see Kyle Field at max cap, you know,
Oh, yeah.
and fingers crossed they bring power back and then surprise everybody by doing it, which will probably make literally the top blow off. If there was an actual top on the stadium, it would blow off if they start with power. Although, quite frankly, they can play send in the clowns if the team likes it and then it makes them win. I don't give a shit what they play pregame,
No.
but I think it'll be a ton of fun, and I can tell you right now that we do not know what song is going to be played.
No, we have no clue. I mean, I'm right there in the same boat with you, though. I think there was just something about power, and I understand the implications. I understand all that crap. I don't care. Thing is, we're not singing lyrics. We're doing the chant that starts the freaking song. And guess
And
what?
we
The chant gets hype.
and the
Every single year, I'll see a video on Twitter and I will never not retweet it because it's so cool.
And we bring the drum corps out in front of it, and like,
Yeah.
just come on, man. So
Everything
that's,
about it's a great intro onto the field.
yeah, it is.
It really
It's
is.
easy because you don't have to sing well to be able to sing that.
And I remember when it first happened back in 2012 when Kevin Sumlin came in and brought it out for that first game against Florida. We're all sitting in the stands. That was the first SEC game. And I remember we lost our minds when we heard it on the PA. I was like, oh, what is happening here? A&M, we're getting like cool. What are we trying to do
We're
here?
getting cool. That's
We're
fine.
trying to be cool? What's that about?
Now it's a great entrance as far as it's not just the song, it's the entire, theatrics, right? All of
It's
it,
the
all together.
buildup. It's all of
And
that.
there's a huge buildup and then play power. And so I am interested about that, even though that obviously has, oh, I bet you can gamble on it in Vegas. But it's got again degenerate. But again, it's, that's secondary to the product on the field, obviously. I'm
Always.
one of those guys that I want whatever the players want, right? Like they got the black uniforms. A lot of people don't like them. They're like, maroon and white's our colors. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I
Well,
just, if they want to wear them one off.
right. Which they are, and they're doing it for the LSU game. They haven't, like, something got posted about it. Nobody really was supposed to, but it's going to be a black uniform for the LSU game. They're planning on it being for a night game. And for me personally, I think if you're going to go around and do like a black uniform, this is the way to do it. You keep it within the same template as what our current uniforms are, which they are. And they will, assuming they pair it with a black helmet, black pant, whatever that looks like, I think it'll be fine, especially for a one-off. But now
I think
that
we'll
you,
live.
well, and on top of that, my heart was very, very encouraged because we got ourselves a white helmet back with maroon face masks, which I think is a nice little flavor just to add a
Well,
little extra combo.
Gerard Johnson throwback.
Yeah, I mean, I liked them. I mean, I really liked that look in 2009. Granted, I understand we lost both times we wore it, but it was a good look.
Womp.
Womp, we got smacked by Arkansas and Oklahoma wearing those uniforms that year.
Yeah, not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob, but that's okay. We got them back. And
Uniform
now,
doesn't play the game, though. All right.
yeah, that's right. Uniforms don't play the game, players do.
Except for when we played Mississippi State away and wore those all white abominations with the state of Texas on the front.
We
Those
don't
uniforms,
talk about those.
lost us a game.
We don't talk about those.
We should have left them in Starkville.
I was in a bar in Houston watching that game when they brought the helmet out and set it up on the little game day table, like before the right before the game, and I was like, "Ooh, that's exciting!" And then proceeded to get absolutely blown our doors off by Dak Prescott.
I was a yell leader at that game. I walked in the locker room. I was like, this looks like white puke.
Wasn't great.
No. And quite frankly, the performance pretty much honored what I thought of the uniforms.
Amen to that. It's incredible. It's like the uniforms that are relatively cool tended to win. And then the ones that were not or less so
Yeah,
tend
your
to
bad
lose.
alternative, you're like uniform is costing you a playoff spot, buddy.
I'm telling you, man, all the time I'm saying. Like when we've had cool uniforms, like when we did the throwbacks against Kentucky and the 98 throwbacks against Kentucky in 18, won that game. Did the black uniforms against Mississippi State, won that game. We did not. Granted, I didn't much care for the all gray. We lost to LSU in those. I did
No,
like the. I
those were
liked.
awful.
I loved.
I was at that game too. Those things were awful.
I liked the helmet though, and I liked the helmet when they paired it with the white top and the white pants against Missouri.
What about the glow in the dark uniforms that we wore at 11 a.m.?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about those. That was the Kyler Murray game.
Oh, that's right.
We
Oh,
beat
yeah.
the we beat the doors off of we absolutely beat the
Yeah.
doors off of South Carolina that day, but
You know what? I get it. I get BAS. Look, and I know I'm kind of a sunshine pumper, but you know what? After this little like 2 minute tirade, thinking back, I get it. Like I get it. I'm so sorry. Like it's been brutal. It really has. We have been kicked into the junk so many times by our football team. And the worst part is between marketing and the university and all this other stuff and recruiting news and everything, like they're like, no, I promise it won't happen this time, baby. Come on back. I love you so much. And we come crawling back through the door and they kick us right back in the junk again.
Every single time, because that's what we've signed up for, my friend, and this is what we get to do.
What is, you remember that video that went viral a few years ago? It was the dude standing out in front of the Brown stadium. He was like, you're a factory of
Extreme
sadness.
sadness.
And the whole video, if you've never seen it, look up Factory of Sadness. It's a Cleveland Browns fan standing out in front of the stadium, which is one shitty Kenny Chesney concert. But the best part is right at the end, he goes, all right, I'll see you next week. Like,
Well, the funny thing is, I want to like create a video where I can like, shop it back behind where it's Kyle Field and be like, you're a factory of sadness. We'll see you next week.
see you next week.
I
So
love,
it's, I know that is what it is. If you got any news, get it out because we got to do picks.
Yes, we do. All right. Really no other crazy news on that front. We can get to picks. We can go jump. One quick thing.
Oh, you got a question? Actually, I've got a question for you too.
Yeah, I had a question. So this is from my buddy James Davis.
Okay.
He asked, he was curious, what is your favorite memory as a Yale leader? And what was your least favorite memory as a Yale leader?
Oh wow. So favorites are, that's hard because there's so many good ones. I mean, least favorite, we were just talking about it. I'm not gonna lie. At the Mississippi State game, like one, obviously the outcome of the game was so crap. Like well, you gotta remember away games at halftime, we if the band's not there, we just go into the locker room. So we're in the locker room and it's like the happiest place, this side of Disney World. It's just brutal in the locker room. Because they're just getting just absolutely their brains beat in. And then on top of that, like the stinking cowbells,
Awful.
and then tack on the fact that I was violently hungover.
Oh no.
So it was like the worst, like just three-headed monster ever. I was popping a leave like Pez at that game and it didn't work. I drank easily my body weight in Gatorade, and I don't think I sweated it a bit. It was so brutal because we had a great time the night before, obviously,
Yeah.
but I didn't think ahead to go maybe take it back a little bit because this cowbells might be a little intense. So it was like it was just the most emotional beat down of a game that I've ever been to in my life, and the cowbells absolutely played a part in that, absolutely 100%.
No question.
My greatest memories, well, the greatest has got to be when Tony Hurd jumped in my arms at the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
All timer.
That's an all-timer. Yeah,
That's one of my favorite pictures ever taken of you, ever.
the one that looks like I'm going to eat him.
You're so excited.
Well, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I've been an Aggie my whole life. So I went out for Yeller because I want to represent university. But once I was on the sideline, I was just a fan with awesome seats.
Yeah.
Another one was when Mike Evans cut the long touchdown against Bama. I was on the west side because we were trying to work the whole crowd.
I
And I was on the
remember.
west side at about the 20, and he caught it, and I just took off. I couldn't hear myself think. I could because remember we still had room behind the benches, so we could go wherever we wanted to. I just remember taking off and just I literally I couldn't hear myself breathe, think, nothing. And so that's way up there as well. And then one of my personal favorites, which I'm not going to say Malcolm Kennedy getting 15 yards. I didn't get flagged. Thank you very much. That wasn't me. No matter what my phone thought when I got back to it, and it literally was dead from notifications for people being like, how are you going to get flagged at the Liberty Bowl? I'm like, they didn't flag me. At the LSU game, when they jumped off sides and Kelemon threw the ball deep because he thought it was off sides. Or was no, was Kelemon? No, no, no. Kenny Trill.
Yeah, Kenny.
Yeah, so he threw the ball deep because he was like offsides, right? Free play. And they didn't call it offsides. And you know, there's a yellow dotted line around the track, and that's like we can't cross across that. Media can't cross. It's like the from there to the field is right. It's the crew, it's the players, all that stuff.
Right.
I was right behind the ref and I put my toe like dead on the line and lead as far as I could. And I like let that dude have it to the point where he turned around and looked at me.
Like,
so, you know, that's one of those things where if I'd been mic'd up, you know, we'd had four yell leaders the rest of the year, but
woo.
But yeah, that was one of my personal favorites just because, you know, they're not supposed to be affected. Right. Right. It's like that one commercial, like where the coaches yell him in the face and everything. And he's just like, you know, deadpan forward. And so that was kind of one of my funny, hilarious moments. But yeah, I would definitely say Tony Hurd jumping in and then the Mississippi State debacle. Just
bleh. Fair enough. What was your question for me?
I was just going to ask how it went at Harry's.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Hurricane Harry's. My goodness gracious. College Station, Texas. Excuse me. I'm dying now. College Station, you getting showed up. They showed up. They showed out. They had a hell of a day. That was awesome. We had 1,200 people in the building. Parker Ryan had his baby up on stage with him. He was holding her up. She had her little, you know,
Lion King on.
Straight up Lion Kinging that baby.
That's
on stage. And the crowd lost it because, of course, I'm like, it's, you know, it's old Stevie. Old Stevie the baby. She's great. But, you know, yeah, we played in front of, you know, 1,200 people in my hometown. A lot of people showed up that I knew. A lot of people that knew me showed up too. But it was a cool deal. You know, we got to see so many familiar faces and so many people singing the music. And but I think the coolest part of the whole night, so we had a little bit of a issue that kind of crept up. So 2 weeks before we were supposed to play, the Tap across town decided to announce a show. Giovanni and the Hired Guns was playing over there the same night. So that pulled some crowd from us, which kind of sucked. However, a lot of people went to the Gio show, and then they left Gio show and came to ours. So it was kind of an interesting little flip because you had a handful of people that were leaving our show to go to Northgate, but then you're having Gio people coming in from our show. So it's like we had this constant flow of people there to watch us play, which was just a sweet deal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if that's the last time I play a show in that building, which it probably is, that was one for the books. And you know what, Hurricane Harry's, I'm so pumped about what their future holds. Not going to go into too many details, but they fully intend on reopening sometime next year at a different location.
So yeah, I've heard those. Yeah, I've heard that as well. But yeah,
they've
I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Yep. So that's what I've been told.
Don't send a DM. We're not spilling the beans on a DM.
Nope, but excited about that. So we'll, you know, like I said, once news drops on that, we'll get around to it. But yeah, it's about that time for old Pick'em. Pick'em time.
Let's end it with Pick'em. Didn't I smoke you last year?
You might have. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention.
Well, it's only a 2-horse race, so, you know.
Yeah, you know.
All right, so we're going to start off. I just kind of have these in no particular order, just the order I wrote them down. So we're going to start off with the Penn State-West Virginia game.
West Virginia, for me.
And we're not betting spreads. We're just betting straight up.
Yep. I'm just going West Virginia. West Virginia, right. Straight up. I like them.
I am actually doing the same. I got the Mountaineers. Again, like I said, I think they've got a shot at winning the conference. And while James Franklin just seems like he keeps disappointing Penn State.
Yeah.
And this would be the first nail in the coffin. If he were to open the season losing West Virginia, and I think it's going to happen.
Well, and you're the number 18 going into unranked West Virginia at their house. And that's a really close road trip. There's a lot of, I mean, it's not nearly as bad as obviously the backyard brawl as far as like
right,
but animosity.
That's a tough place to play. Morgantown is a really cool environment, despite it not being like, you know, a 9,500,000 person stadium. Like, it's a really cool environment.
It is. So, yeah, all in West Virginia there.
Let's go. The U playing at Florida.
That's tough. That's really tough. I mean, man, I have a hard time pulling against Florida at the Swamp.
In the Swamp.
Yep. I mean, if this was a neutral site or in Miami, I might go Miami, but the fact that it's at the Swamp, I'm going Florida.
You can take Florida?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Miami because I just want to see Florida continue just to suck. I think Billy Napier is in for a long season. Unfortunately, I don't think it's because of necessarily a talent level. Their schedule's brutal, dog.
It is.
Brutal.
It is brutal.
And I think they're going to get off on the wrong foot, and this is one of the ones that they probably need to have to make sure that their season is palatable and Billy Napier stays there. And I think this might be the same thing as Franklin. Like, this might be the beginning of the end, depending on how the rest of the season goes. I'm going to
Right.
go and take the U, though, even though, SEC over ACC, that's always hard to pick against. But I mean, we lost to the U last year, so.
Yeah, I have a hard time pulling against Florida there at that building because it's a
Yeah,
tough place to play.
I just don't know what to expect out of Florida,
Right. And that's
So,
true.
all right, we'll pick it just for the sake of picking it. Fair.
Right.
Zips Colorado State.
Mean, it's gonna be Texas. I think Colorado State
You know
will.
what? I'll take that one off the list because that's not even a fun one. I'm gonna change that out. I'm gonna change that out. I mean, because I was gonna pick Colorado State and basically just lose a point.
Why not? Yeah, I mean,
All right, so let's see this. Let's see one of the other big matchups. Let's see LSU USC.
yeah, LSU. I mean, really,
In Vegas.
it's LSU. I mean, LSU has proven time and time again neutral site means nothing to them, and frankly, doesn't matter who they play, they're going to give them a hell of a game, and their fans are going to show up and be there in droves. And the fact that you're going to have a bunch of Cajuns running around
In
in
Vegas.
Vegas, yeah, LSU's winning that game.
Hope the police are getting some sleep.
I just pray that USC doesn't try to come crawling out of the freaking do that little crawl out of
All right.
the
I
tunnel.
just I don't have any faith in USC, quite frankly.
No, Lincoln Riley does not inspire confidence to me. He just doesn't.
Yeah.
Especially when Oklahoma, he basically got handed a program. All nice, spick and span, didn't have to rebuild nothing, just plug him in.
Yeah, they gave him a Corvette and gave him they didn't give him the keys. The engine was already running. He got in and just rammed it into a pole.
And now you're going to USC. Which, granted, now you've moved into the Big Ten, that's helped a little bit, but it's not going to help you long term, man. I just
I
don't
don't
see
think there's any massive bump for that relative to a program like USC. USC could switching program or switching conferences from Pac-12 to Big Ten, I don't think does literally anything for USC because USC should be able to recruit itself regardless of what conference they're in.
Bingo. They're blue blood classic, right? They should be able to
100%.
recruit regardless. Yeah.
100%. All right. UGA Clemson.
Georgia.
Yeah, I honestly.
Georgia, it'll probably be tight early, but I like Georgia rolling away from that game pretty handily in the second
I
half.
think Clemson's got a shot at the ACC. I think the ACC opened wide open once Georgia Tech did what they did to FSU. But I just, it's Georgia, man. And
Georgia.
until you do, it's going to be Georgia. All right, then come down to our game. So we talked about it, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Kyle Field's going to be absolutely flipping rocking. Like, I had to slow down for a second to make sure I didn't drop an F-bomb on here. Like, I'm fired up, man. Huge game. Two really, 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 really good defenses that could be elite, both of them this year. Notre Dame, obviously, obviously, you look at the numbers from last year, they really both should be elite. Questions on both sides, both offenses have questions.
Oh,
I don't really look at special teams because there was so much shakeup with us. We've got Bond back kicking, so you like that. But again, so the fight in Mike Elko's, it's the cultists versus the Catholics, right?
yep.
And so I feel like we should bet this one on the spread, but I don't think that that'll change our picks.
I don't think it's going to change our picks much.
All right. And we can throw out a score prediction, even though we don't do that as part of our
Yes,
picks.
we will throw out a score prediction. So
All right.
I will go ahead,
I'll yield the floor.
fighting Texas Aggies. We're gonna win
All
this
right.
game. My final score prediction, 31-17 Aggies.
Ooh.
I think we're gonna put up some points. I think defense will hold them off long enough that maybe towards the end they do get themselves like extra touchdown. Maybe we just get another one in there right before the end to kind of make the score look a little prettier. But I like 31-17 Aggies.
All right, I'm going to take the Aggs at a little bit lower scoring affair because I do believe both defenses are really good. Both
I agree.
teams have questions on the offensive line. So the ability to sustain drives and put points on the board, I think, is going to be at a premium. I'm going to go with a really weird score.
I like it.
I'm going to go Ags 21 and Notre Dame 12.
All right.
I'm going to go with 12. I don't know why I'm going with 12, but that's what I'm doing.
Well, they're either going to
win. Both of them, obviously, both of these cover the spread.
Yep. So,
and then since it's the beginning of the season and we can look back, you know, when it's all said and done with, what's your final record prediction?
All right. My final record prediction for Texas A&M this season is 9-3 for the regular season before the bowl game.
Okay. Where does that end us up?
Well, I'll say we finish 10-3.
So plus a bowl.
I think we win. I think we go, I say 9-3 before the end of the regular season, 10-3 with the bowl game.
No playoffs. Just bowl.
No playoffs. Bowl.
Okay. You know, that's really kind of where I was at. I figured we'd be at 10 wins with a bowl.
Yeah.
But I mean, our schedule is wildly favorable.
It's not crazy. And frankly, I would be more than happy to be completely wrong about that on the other direction.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go a step further because you know me, right? Okay. So I'm going to go. Eleven and three.
Okay.
Going 10-2 regular season. Win the first playoff game, lose the second.
All right. And that would be acceptable.
A playoff berth, absolutely. And winning a game in the playoffs, that'd be huge.
Yeah, that would be more than acceptable.
Even just making the playoffs, if we went 10-3? I mean, 10-2, though, then you're wondering, are you going to end up in the SEC championship game or not? But
right. But, see, that's kind of the beauty of the situation, right? If you're just right outside of that area, you might be able to win.
I'm assuming we don't. I'm assuming we don't make the championship game. I'm assuming both of our losses are in conference. And remember, you know, now without divisions, it's just the top two. So it's basically going to be Georgia and somebody, right?
Right.
Ole Miss or Bama would be my guess.
What about Texas? Aren't they supposed to be just – I'm just kidding. I'm not
Ole Miss or Bama would be my guess.
right. Exactly. But
yeah, so there's the first week's picks. We're off and running. Got the full season prediction.
Yes,
You guys can always drop questions down in there. You can always shoot us a DM on any of our socials. I'm at Roy May 15 on Instagram and on X, and I'm on Facebook if you're on Facebook. and then Rob, your socials.
So I am Rob the Slapper with dots in the middle on Instagram. Just Rob the Slapper standard on X. If you want to catch up with all of our stuff, be sure to follow the Red Ass Podcast too if you don't already. Give us some love. Push it out there. We'd love to really expand this audience this fall if we can, and would love to talk about all kinds of stuff in addition to football.
Because we didn't get to Premier League.
We didn't get to Premier League like we were planning on. We didn't get to Aggie soccer like we planned on. We've got a lot to get into at some point.
We do.
Except we
do a long show or so. I will figure something out.
We'll figure something out. We're going to do some other shows. We're going to do some stuff in addition to the football content.
There's just so much football to talk about today.
There's a lot of football to talk about, and it's just exciting to get back into it. But I am Rob White.
Cookie Monster. Me going crazy.
Roy May, who's the Cookie Monster.
All right, I'm Roy May. Hey, thank y'all for listening. Again, if you got any questions or you have any topics or anything you guys want us to talk about, we love talking about just about everything. Thank you guys for tuning in. Yes. And Rob?
Yep. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you very much. Thanks, Giggum. Beat the hell out of Notre Dame.